Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Tanzina Vega, and we're back with The Takeaway. There's no street quite like Sesame Street. Now in its 50th year, the landmark television show has captured the attention of children everywhere across generations. Beloved characters like Big Bird, Elmo, and Cookie Monster have taught kids their ABCs and 1-2-3s, all while singing about food, rubber duckies, and even garbage. But the show hasn't just been about sunny days. It's also helped kids sweep the clouds away. Sesame Street has a long history of explaining complex and difficult subjects in ways that children can understand. Things like homelessness, death, and incarceration. Now, Sesame Street is taking on addiction. In a new video series, Carly, a bright green Muppet with yellow pigtails, reveals to Elmo and other friends that her mom is in recovery.
My mom needs help. Learning to take better care of herself, so she talks to people with the same problem.
You see, buddy, everybody there is having the same kind of hard time, so they talk with each other about it.
Oh, well, when Elmo talks about a problem that Elmo's having, it helps Elmo feel better.
Carly's experience is the story of many children in the United States today. According to a 2017 report from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, about 8.7 million children under the age of 17 live with a parent who struggles with substance abuse. Dr. Lauren Caldwell is the director of the Children, Youth, and Families Office with the American Psychological Association, and she joins us now to explain the best way to help children understand addiction. Lauren, thanks for being on The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me here, Tanzina.
So why do you think Sesame Street finally decided to take on the issue of addiction?
I think that we've seen it grow as an issue in society over the last couple of years to a level that we better understand the effect it's having on families and on children, and it's more primary in our minds to consider that effect and how do we help children deal with it as well.
We just heard a short clip from the new character, Carly. When Sesame Street portrays or represents addiction in the new series, how do they do it? And what are you seeing in the videos in terms of language and their approach to dealing with it overall?
Sesame Street has a difficult task of trying to put information, and in this case, very complex information, into a format that children across a couple of different developmental stages can take it in. So there's a big difference developmentally between a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old, which, you know, comprises most of Sesame Street's audience. So they have approached that by providing the information in simple terms a couple of different times, a couple of different ways to try to reach their whole audience. They break down addiction as a health issue, which is very important, and talk about it as dealing with that feeling and also to stop doing that so that you can be more healthy. Sesame Street has a long history of having Muppets interact with each other or Muppets interacting with an older child or an adult. Questions get asked, and there's some further sort of demonstration of how this might make you feel and how to deal with those feelings. And so because of that established format, Sesame Street is somewhat uniquely situated to do a really good job with this.
In your work, this is the area that you focus on. What works and what doesn't work? And I'm sure there's a range of different things, as you mentioned, when depending on a child's age. But generally speaking, when it helps to helping children understand substance abuse, particularly when it's a caregiver or a family member who's facing it, how do children best understand it?
It's very difficult for them to understand the concept of addiction. But it is good to talk about it in terms of health, which, of course, it is a health issue, to talk with them about, you know, the adult isn't feeling well, the adult is ill and needs to feel better and needs to find ways to feel better, that it's helpful to talk about the emotions associated with that. And Sesame Street does a great job of saying your big feelings. When you have big feelings, you need to talk about those big feelings. And when you have reactions, you need to deal with them, whether it's anger or sadness or fear or whatever else. So it's really helping children get in touch with their emotions that they're experiencing because of what's going on in their world, and then helping them deal with those emotions in ways that can be productive for them, especially the youngest children. As children get older, closer to the 6, 7, they might understand more about that addiction is an illness and that it needs to be treated, and that the adult might need that treatment in other settings. And so you really have to just take that developmental approach.
What are the limits of pop culture as a vehicle for these conversations, Lauren? I mean, ultimately, Sesame Street has been, you know, obviously a pioneer in this, in a lot of difficult subjects for kids. But don't children need more than just Sesame Street or more than just pop culture?
Absolutely. But I think Sesame Street has a good window into, if they can help make this a little more accepted, if they can get this information out, one, so it can help children who need it, but also so more people are exposed to it. That's one of the benefits of pop culture taking this on. Of course, that's not enough, but as it becomes easier for us to talk about, easier for us to acknowledge, it makes it easier for us to get children what they need, which is some consistent, supportive, nurturing, caregiving in their environment. Someone or some ones who they can trust and talk with about their feelings, and who can help them as they grow older process what's going on in their family, what it means for them, what their role is in that, you know, not to self-blame, not to feel guilt, those types of things, and how to continue on and find a path to resilience in this process of going through recovery in their family.
What are the long-term effects, Lauren, of children who grow up with parents or caregivers who are dealing with addiction? This doesn't seem to be something that will go away. It just feels like something that will evolve, particularly if it's not treated, if their feelings are not addressed early on.
It's hard to say generally what it's going to be for any individual child. There are a range of circumstances that affect what it means in a child's environment. It can mean trauma and difficulty for themselves in finding a healthy path in their own lives. It can also mean that they develop great resilience. And of course, in a family where the addiction is dealt with, the family member gets help and the family is well supported, it can mean just a strong, healthy, resilient family, and can be a very positive experience for the child to have that recovery in their environment. So it's not always that it's going to be a detriment, but certainly untreated addiction, inconsistency in the context of the family that it creates, can be highly problematic for children as they grow up.
And what should people, caregivers or family members who are not addicted, be paying attention to in children's behavior, those children who are dealing with addicted parents? Like, are there signs that say this child needs attention and they should be, paying closer attention to what they're feeling?
It's important if you have a child, especially a young child in a family with addiction, to note, you know, to pay attention to that and try to think about how it's affecting the child. It's easy to get caught up in what the person with the addiction needs, but it's very important to think about what's going on with the child. And that might not be as readily evident. Children may hide their emotions to some extent, but you may see them start to be either more angry or more fearful or more sad. They may have more uncontrollable emotional outbursts. They may isolate themselves more. Also, you know, other children react differently. They may be more attention seeking. They may need more reassurance and be more clingy or try to engage more. And so it's hard to say what any one child will do. The real thing to look for is this child behaving differently than they have before? Or, you know, are you seeing them not engage in ways that you would expect for the age that they are?
Lauren Caldwell is the director of the Children, Youth, and Families Office with the American Psychological Association. Thanks for joining us, Lauren.
Thanks for having me.